Hello again, everyone. I'm Don Wolf, and I love jazz. And we have the opportunity to visit with lovely vocalist Ellen Kay. Ellen, welcome to I Love Jazz.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be on and a pleasure to meet you. I'm very excited.
Well, I love your two new CDs, but before we talk about them, tell us a little bit about your background, if you will.
Well, of course, I'd be happy to. I actually was really lucky enough to grow up on 57th Street, and my family owned the Russian Tea Room from 1947 to 1996. So I got to grow up around a lot of really exciting entertainers and, you know, just all worldwide, you know, interesting people. And then, you know, later on I became a nightclub singer, and I'm also getting ready to open my own restaurant in New York. So, you know, I guess it's a slightly unusual background.
Well, you know, all of us from that vintage have been to the Russian Tea Room. What about your new restaurant? Is it going to be similar?
Well, it has some similarities. My mom and my dad were very smart people, so I'm taking the things that make a lot of sense for today's world. But it's going to be a lot more casual and less expensive, not high-end. It's called Moscow 57, and we're going to have live music as well as Russian and Central Asian food and also an American menu, which we had at the Tea Room, not quite at the same level. But for people, there's always somebody in a group that says, you know, can I just have a nice roast chicken? So if you don't want the chicken kebab, you can have the roast chicken. But yes, there are similarities.
Well, I was one of the many, many fans of the Russian Tea Room, so I'll be excited to try out your new place. Tell us a little bit about your career. When did you begin to sing?
I actually started singing in 1989, if you can believe it, in very, you know, small places around town. And I had some great opportunities and, you know, played some bigger clubs as well. And then a few years later, I had my son, so I was kind of on a triple trajectory of raising my son, Ian, who actually just went to college in August, and working in the restaurant business, getting ready to have my own restaurant, and then performing in live music venues, you know, preparing to have my own live music venue. So I've been doing all three, you know, all these years.
Well, I love your two CDs. I don't know whether they're your first or not. Are they?
I did one in 1998 called, actually, 2 a.m. because I'm a night owl, and that's why we've got 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. but, yes, I did one before.
Well, we got, like, nine more hours to go.
Exactly. Well, you know who inspired me is that wonderful Julie London album. You know, I think it's called Round Midnight, where she's lying on her back with her feet, you know, pointing towards the 12 on the clock. Have you ever seen it? It's one of the sexiest album covers in the world, and I always thought all of her albums had really great style and flair. So I was thinking about, you know, I just love the whole idea of the night and the time. So, yes, you're right. I have a lot of hours to go. I don't know if I'm ever going to do an 8 a.m., though.
Well,
I'll be honest with you.
I know that Julie London album very well, but I think you're a little too young to have been around when that came out.
Well, you're very kind, but I was lucky because my mom played just the greatest people, you know, Louis Armstrong, Fred Astaire, Maurice Chevalier, Julie London, Frank Sinatra. I mean, that's all I heard coming up, and it's had a big impact on what I love. So that's why I actually have quite a few of the Julie London albums, and anytime I can get my hands on another one, I grab it.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about your brand new album, 3 AM, but I also want to include in that the Ice Wine album that came out around Christmas time, which leads to the question that it appears that you have some favoritism for the Great American Songbook, but your selection is a little bit more eclectic than that.
That's very true. I actually do like a broad spectrum. So I think almost everything on the album is American, but you're right. There's the classics, the standards. I happen to really enjoy contemporary writers like Ricky Lee Jones and Sting as much as I do Hoagy Carmichael and Johnny Mercer. I realize that I kind of don't think about it in categories. I look for songs that tell a story that I feel that I can connect to, and that hopefully other people will, and that's really where I go. I start with the story, and of course, you know, the music that goes with the story, and that's really how I choose my tunes, and they really spread across. You're right, eclectic is the word.
Well, 3 a.m., the dogs, the milkman, and me. Now, I yes. want to know where you came up with that title.
Okay, well, the 3 a.m. is just because that's about the time of night when everything starts to make sense to me. And I try to hit myself over the head with a blackjack to put myself out, but it never works. The dogs, the milkman, and me is because that is the opening line in the Tom Waits song that's on that album called Saving All My Love for You, not to be confused with the Whitney Houston tune. And the opening is, it's too early for the circus, it's too late for the bars, and everybody's sleeping but the paper boy, and no one in this town is making any noise but the dogs and the milkman and me. So it really captures that kind of magical time when the phone doesn't ring and almost nobody emails you except maybe, you know, Staples to tell you're about to get a new reward of some kind. And I find it very peaceful.
Well, your CD, 3 a.m., The Dogs, The Milkman, and Me, is doing very well. You must be very proud of it.
I'm really excited. Yes, Tony Romano is the producer and arranger on that album, and he's playing guitar, and we've got some really great musicians on it. And I'm really, really thrilled. This is the first time that we've actually attempted to get our songs out into the world, and so the response to 3 a.m. and to Ice Wine has been spectacular. So I don't even know what to say. I've been, you know, kind of singing in a small, quiet way for a long time, and then now I'm on the phone with you. The good news is that, you know, people look and see how long I've been doing it, and they don't feel that I'm, you know, that I haven't earned the right to be here. That's the good news. But yes, I have been doing this a long time.
Well, you had a similar selection of songs on the Ice Wine Songs for Christmas and Dark Winter Nights. There again, the choice for songs were not only standard Christmas tunes, but also somewhat of an eclectic selection there as well.
Yes, well, actually, Ethan Fine produced and arranged Ice Wine, and he and I have very similar feelings about music and kind of breaking through genres and different categories. And the big thing was that we said, I'd never done a Christmas album, and but I felt like just intellectually and emotionally, I didn't want to do 12 Christmas tunes. I kind of have a Woody Allen aspect to my character, and at least Woody Allen before, you know, he ran off and kind of did some things that we're not so sure about. And The Dark Winter Nights comes from that. So it's kind of like, you know, his early film Love and Death, kind of a spectrum to Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal, and Songs for Dark Winter Nights kind of captures that feeling. So the Merry Christmas tunes are mostly upbeat and fun, though there's one or two that are wistful, like Hard Candy Christmas. And Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And the Dark Winter Nights, you know, you've got Annie Lennox, you've got Joni Mitchell, and then you've got Irving Berlin's I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. My favorite version of that actually is the Billie Holiday version that I just adore, even though I know so many different people have recorded it. So I don't know. I just enjoy all of these songs, and they got me excited to do the CD. Like, I felt like we were really hitting a lot of different tones, and I was surprised that so many people felt the same way, that they were kind of happy to get something that was a mix.
Well, I think happy is also a good word to describe both CDs, because you can tell from this interview, at least I can, how much fun you're having doing this and how much you enjoy it. And that comes through, by the way, to the listener. So the listener has fun with you.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. I have so much incredible joy in doing the music, and I also just, I love rehearsal. I mean, I love the people that I'm lucky enough to work with, so I love the whole process from the rehearsal to the gig to the recording. I've actually just been asked to sing at the United Nations in March to kick off the Peace and Equality Luncheon for the New York Women's Chapter. I'm going to be singing a new tune that I've been doing called When I Was a Boy, that's written by Dar Williams. And so, I mean, you know, music takes you to the most amazing places, and I've actually been very happy doing it quietly, but it's really a thrill to suddenly, you know, be meeting people like you and doing it at a different level. So there's just really no downside to it.
Well, back home in New York, do you have a regular gig, or is it something you're doing just as the opportunities arise, or what?
Well, thank you. I actually have been playing Iridium and the Metropolitan Room for quite a while, and I play there regularly. I'm in the middle of a run at the Metropolitan Room right now, and then we'll probably be back at Iridium, you know, shortly after that. And then I've been playing other blocks as well, and then we play all in the tri-state area constantly. Like, we're at one place up in Port Jervis this weekend, and then on Valentine's Day we're in Tapan at the 76th House, so we just have all kinds of things happening. And I like to work all the time. I am a bit of a workaholic, which is, with, you know, what the 2 a.m. and the 3 a.m. is all about. But I love the work.
I can tell. Well, tell me, is the jazz scene as such still alive and well in New York City, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a great jazz town. There's absolutely, it's alive, and it's a wonderful town for music. Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of places to go. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, what was it, 52nd Street, Swing Street in the heyday. I mean, I'd love to see that come back. I'm actually involved with a bunch of people working on making live music more viable in New York. We're all passionate about finding, you know, ways to get musicians more work and make the scene even more alive than it is. But absolutely, if you, I mean, it's, there's just so many, there's little places you've never heard of. You still have the big rooms, and of course now you've got jazz at Lincoln Center, which is quite extraordinary, you know, and then you've got a little place like Smalls, and then you've got Smoke. I mean, it goes on and on. So, yes, the answer is yes, it's alive and kicking, and I hope that we can grow it some more over these next few years.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm convinced that jazz is still alive and well all over the country, but a lot of my musician friends from the Big Apple tell me it's more and more difficult to find work these days.
Well, that's just for sure because, you know, as technology changed and then people would rather sit on their couch and eat potato chips than come out and smooch and, you know, have a martini, you know? You know what I'm saying? That, like, the times have changed. But in that sense, but I really think, well, of course you can tell I'm a relatively optimistic person, but I feel that live music as an entity has a profound place in the human experience, that there's really nothing else like it. The only thing, the closest thing to it is worship, is, you know, is religion, in terms of that extraordinary exchange, that there's something sacred about music, and being in a room with people performing live, you know, is a way that people can connect like no other kind of connection. And I don't believe that it's going to become obsolete. I think there's just going to become new and different ways to experience it, and that's honestly why we have a live venue, a live music component to our restaurant, because I'm putting my money where my mouth is, you know, and we're going to be having a lot of different kinds of talent, the different genres. Jazz will absolutely be a piece of it, and all other, as you can see from the choices we make on our albums, you'll be having those kinds of different musical tastes in our restaurant as well, and other people are doing this all over the place, so we're just a part of it. So that's my sunny outlook.
Well, I hope you're right, and I support your optimism. I tell my listeners on every show that the only way to retain our music is by supporting our musicians by buying their product and visiting them when they're in your town or when you come to their town. Do you take your show on the road, by the way?
Well, you know what? This is the first time we're actually just going to start to do that. And it's, because what happened is when Ice Wine hit and then 3 a.m. The response across the country has been very strong. So yes, we're getting in the car and we're getting on the plane. We don't have it booked yet. We're just beginning to figure out where we're going. And you know, hopefully we can come someplace where, you know, I could meet you.
Well, I hope so.
That would be my dream.
we have some good jazz clubs in St. Louis, and we also have some down here in Southwest Florida. Cabaret music has seemed to been on the rise lately, and although I find it difficult to draw the line between some of the singers that are called cabaret and those that are, we know, are jazz singers, I'm not so sure you can put a category on any of those singers, but that's on the rise as well.
It is, and I think the whole fact that you can't put your finger on the difference is really what's happening, you know? across the board. You know, and I think that's actually exciting, and I think it's going to be better for business as well, you know, just because it'll have a broader reach. And the broader the reach, you know, as you know much better than I in that sense, the more people we can get to, the better off we'll all be, you know. But I would, yes, I would very much like to come to your part of the world, and we've actually already started to investigate what the clubs are, and we're actually going to go to where the radio stations like yourself, where people like us, and we're going to perform there. It's going to be, that's our simple plan.
Well, you know, for years I loved having live music on the radio. I mean, it's one thing to play LPs and tapes and CDs, but it's another thing to have people live in the studio singing. And I always enjoyed a live interview and a live singing performance. Well, we're visiting with Ellen Kaye. It's K-A-Y-E, and her brand new CD is a big hit, and I know you'll enjoy it. It's 3 a.m., The Dogs, The Milkman, and Me. Ellen, before I let you go, what's on the drawing board for the future?
Well, I'm going to actually take that the song When I Was a Boy, and we're going into the studio to start working on the next, I still like to call them albums. And then I'll be, I'm honestly, we're going to come to where you are. We won't stalk you, though. and we hope that people will go to our website and buy our albums at Moscow57.com. Moscow, like the city in Russia, 57, like the street where I grew up on. And you know, we're just going to play as much music as we possibly can. That's what we're doing.
You know, I know Jimmy Zach helped you with your ice a wine CD, I see that you really have taken this whole project on yourself. You haven't gone to one of the major recording studios, and I respect that. I think that's wise and probably the best way for you to get your product out, but it must be difficult, is it?
Yes. I mean, It is. You're right. It's tough. But, well, first of all, let me just say the shout-out to Jimmy Zach and Nola Studios, where we did Ice Wine, which was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. And he's one of the greatest people. And we were with him yesterday, actually, talking about you and, you know, playing in around the country and all of that. And we're actually going into the studio with him again to do, I guess what they used to call a single. We're going to do When I Was a Boy and release it as a single. But, yes, it is hard to self-produce. But I'm kind of doing that across the board. You know, the restaurant is, you know, we're producing it ourselves. The music, we're producing it ourselves. So there's, you know, there's always a price to pay, you know. I mean, you don't sleep, but at the same time, you have a lot more control. So, you know, and I don't think I would have probably been able to make all these choices and kind of cross all the different genres if I was in someone else's hands. I could be wrong about that, but I think it would have been a lot more difficult to choose these specific songs. And my heart, it's not that I can't compromise because I've been in the business world all my life, you know, and working a lot for other people, particularly in the restaurant world. So I know how to negotiate and to compromise, but I think that the reason that these albums are hitting people in a certain way is because we haven't had to do that. You know, we've been able to go with the songs that we all feel are the most compelling. So, yes, you're right, it's hard, but so what? You know, pretty much everything that's really worthwhile, as they say, it's hard.
And it's worth working for, right?
Yes, very much. You know, I'm very old school, bootstrapped, you know, just make it happen.
Well, you got two wonderful people in your corner when you have Jimmy Zach and Len Triola. And with those two guys, you can't go wrong. And they're dear, wonderful friends of mine.
Well, I'm just very lucky because Jimmy introduced us to Len. And Len has been the person to put us on the map. And so what do you say to that, you know? I mean, you just can only say thank you, and that's why I was over there kissing Jimmy really hard yesterday.
Well, when you see him, give him a kiss for me, because I'd rather...
I promise.
I'd rather
I will.
Come from you than me, but I give him one every now and then myself. So
it's hard not to kiss him.
Well, we've been visiting with Ellen Kay, her brand new CD, 3 a.m., The Dogs, The Milkman, and Me. And even though there's a Christmas album and you may be tired of Christmas music, there's another half dozen or more tunes that you'll enjoy on her Ice Wine CD as well. Ellen, it's been a thrill. Thank you so much for taking the time out of what I know is a busy start to the weekend to visit with us here on I Love Jazz.
Well, I am just absolutely thrilled to have met you. I can't thank you enough for having me on. And yes, we're actually doing, our catering company is actually doing hors d'oeuvres tonight for the Petrushka Ball that's at the Waldorf, and we're part of the pre-party at the Reslin Boutique. So we're actually in a penthouse right now over Fifth Avenue, gearing up to serve people little bites to eat. And they're raising money for the Russian children's orphanage organization. So, well, so yes, I'm about to get into a ball gown, and I wish you were here to escort me.
I wish I were as well, and I hope you'll go up to Cole Porter's piano and sing and play a tune.
I would think about it, but then I might end up being arrested, but that would actually get me on page 6.
Then you could use my talents, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I could.
Well, that's Ellen Kay, and I'm Don Wolf, and I'd like to say the two of us love jazz.
We love